Southern Nationals.
You want to do that again?
No, you're better.
Oh, man, we missed out. Joining us in the media center, the top fuel winner from the Arby's Southern Nationals, Steve Torrence, who had a 2017 versus 2018 final round matchup against Brittany Force. Steve is our first repeat winner in top fuel this season here in the seventh race. Your third career win in Atlanta. 2012 was your first ever top fuel win. It was over Tony Schumacher. That was your 29th top fuel race win and 33rd overall. You are now ninth all time in top fuel race wins. Steve, take us through your race day.
You know, round one we had Luigi Novelli, and that's like a double-edged sword because those guys, they've been running really well. Not the quickest, but pretty consistent. And he goes out there and he goes 394 against us, and I don't even remember. I think we went 78 first round, but I clearly remember racing Luigi first round in Chicago last year or the year before and going out and smoking the tires. So, I mean, it's hard not to get nervous because you want to go out there and just do your job and not screw up. And those guys, they were there to capitalize if we did. I don't remember who we had second round.
You had Scott Palmer.
Oh, I had Palmer. I hadn't been the best guy on the tree this year, but I'm typically better than Palmer. And I've been giving him some help because – and that's not a dig at Scott at all, but you can be your own worst enemy in the car. And Scott is his own worst enemy because he's thinking about everything other than stepping on the gas pedal. And I just told him, I said, when you get in this car, you're not racing me. You're not racing anybody but yourself. That light comes on, that foot moves. That's all that's got to happen. And he was 44 first round. And so I was like, okay, don't do that again. But I don't know what they did. I think they smoked the tires immediately. But I mean, that team's coming around. Jason McCullough is my dad's crew chief with Walt Prisbull. But when he's not running, Jake comes to the races with us and goes over there and works with Palmer. And, I mean, we're kind of – we've got our own little team or whatever you want to call it with Dom Lagana and Scott Palmer and ourselves. I mean, we're trying to get as much data and gather everything as we can and work together. And, you know, I mean, we need those guys out here. We need those cars out here competing and putting on a show for these fans, and I think that we did a good job this weekend.
Semi-final against Sean Reed, an upstart in the category, whole shot win.
You know, Sean Reed, he's just a new driver over there, but those two teams, that's a Vandergrift team, and you got Jordan Vandergrift and Sean Reed over there, and those cars, they've been going, they're front runners. They don't race all the time, but when they do race, they come out and they run well. So I knew that the car could run well, and I kind of looked through some of the runs through qualifying and first round, and Reed had been on the tree pretty solid. So I went up there and just got my head right and focused, and I was 55, 58 or something, and I didn't know that it was a whole shot. I knew that it was a close race the whole way because I could hear him beside me the whole way. And then when I came through the lights and pushed the chutes and shut the car off, he blew past, and I saw the light flashing on the wall, but I didn't realize that it was a whole shot win until I got to the end and they rounded the corner. But those are the most gratifying as a driver because those are winning a pedal fest. But that's when it's in your court. The ball's in your court, and you get to do it. When the car goes out and runs really well, it's just the guy that made the least amount of mistakes.
Final round, last two champions matching up. Brittany was number one qualifier, had already gotten a win. Whoever won the race would be the first two-time winner of the 2019 season. I can't imagine that wasn't just a huge race for both of you.
Better than that, that's those are two Arby's employees because we worked at Arby's on Friday morning. So she was taking the orders, and I was sending them out the to-go window. But, yeah, it was a good round. I mean, she and I battled it out in 17 for the championship. Grubby and Hogan battled it out all year last year with Milliken. So those two have combined and joined forces, and they're definitely a team to be reckoned with. And going up in the final round, I had confidence because we did have lane choice. Throughout the day, the right lane had trended to not being able to go down it as quickly and a little more hard, more difficult to maneuver. So I was confident going into that. I missed the tree a little bit, but I was 70, so I don't think that it was too bad. But I'd been high 50, low 60 all day, so I was kind of wanting to be there. But Richard Hogan, Bobby Lagana, every one of those Capco boys. I mean, I can't say enough about them. It's like you hear the same interview from me every time, but those are the guys that are the reason for this success, and those are the guys that win championships. That's the kind of team that it takes to do this. I've watched Don Schumacher build the Army team, and I watched how they bonded together. That team has been together for 7-8 years, and then they leave with AJ and go over to Alanabi. They win championships. They go all over, and when you have a group of guys that sticks together and that continuity's there, that's the reason for success. And as a driver, I need to do my job. I need to be in that car and give them the best driving ability I possibly can, because they're giving me the best race car that they possibly can. And more often than not, the people that make mistakes are in the crew chief lounge and in the driver's seat, because those guys right there are second to none, and I'd put them against anybody out here. So just like last week and this week, we go down the racetrack every time when we need to. It smoked the tires one round. I pedaled it against Palmer. But other than that, we've had a really good race car. So hats off to them. Thanks to all the Capco boys at home that are working 7 days a week as of lately to just stay ahead and keep all the work that we've got in front of them going smoothly. So I really appreciate those guys, and then just everybody that's been involved. And it's really cool to have Arby's out here now. This is the Arby Southern Nats. I'm going to be the first guy to ever win the Arby Southern Nats. So that's a check off the resume and something I'm proud of, and I look forward to having those guys out here for a long time.
Let's open it up to questions from members of the media. Name and affiliation?
Ian Talker, CompetitionPlus.com. The final round there, Steve, looks like you were a little bit behind in the first half. You caught her right. She seemed to die right about half track. Were you surprised at that, how quickly you caught her at that moment?
What you're looking at is numbers, and what they did is they went out there and they were more aggressive early, which caused them to smoke the tire. So it wasn't like she was ahead and died off. She just, their tune-up was they overpowered the track. They missed the tune-up, and it's nothing that she did. It's mm-hmm. Grubnick and those guys, whether it was a malfunction or if that's what they were trying to do. But more often than not, it's just being a little bit too aggressive early in the run. I mean, Grubby's notorious for going out there and throwing down and flying. And you got to look at how these guys do battle. I mean, I look at what she is on the tree, and he probably looks at what I was on the tree and what they ran and what he thought he needed to do to, you know, if I was 50 and she's 80, then he needs to pick it up 300s, and it just didn't stick. So, I mean, I don't know what the deal was, but it was – from my perspective, I could hear her for a little bit. I never saw her, so it wasn't more than a hundredth. I mean, you could, when the car's more than about a hundredth ahead of you, you can see him. So it wasn't much more than that.
That's what I was getting at. Like, what were you seeing and
you
what were you thinking?
Of it. I was 70, 72. She was 88, so I was 16 ahead there.
Right.
And they were outrunning us like 2.5. So, it was very, very minute, if all. But you just concentrate on driving the car straight, keeping it in the groove, and the wind light comes on, whoever gets there first. So there's nothing I can do worrying about what's in the other lane. And, right. and what you'll do is you'll get distracted. And, I mean, if you look over there, you see that car over there, you'll drive to it. So
right.
Just try to keep the blinders up and not do what the dadgum horse did in the Kentucky Derby, stay in my own lane.
Yeah, I mean, you talked after not having a win in 5 races, which is not a long time for anyone other than you guys, about need to look for motivation and stuff. But does that at some point become a distraction for you?
Looking for motivation?
Yeah,
motivation.
You said that after not winning for 5 races that you needed.
I mean,
I know you say a lot of stuff when you get out of the car.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I get wound up, and I mean, I found motivation, and it just, it's not directly pointed at anybody. It's just, I have to have that mindset, that attitude to go out here and just be in the right zone. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those guys that's going to come up here and I'm not Antron. Antron's the happiest guy all the time. I'm not. I mean, I'm happy when I get out, but when I get in, I want to kill that guy or girl beside me. I mean, I want to chop that tree off and leave just a little stub smoking and go down through there and crush them. I don't want to just, I'm not here for fun. I'm here to win. And, you know, you can take that however you want, but it's not malicious towards anybody. I mean, I've had some some spats with some of the other drivers out here, but I mean, I just say what I think, and I mean, you're never going to leave a conversation with me and not know where we stand. I mean, I'm just that kind of person. And so I caught a lot of crap on social media last week of some comments that I made, and everybody thought they were directed maliciously at Mike Salinas. I mean, that guy's a self-made family-run race team that's openly said that he mimicked what they're doing after our race team, and they're going out, they're doing well, and they're successful. I have no problem with that, and I'm not knocking the guy for anything. I mean, so people are going to pick what they want to out of what you say. They're going to try to make what they want to out of it, and, I mean, if more people would just shut up and go to work and stay off social media, they'd probably get a lot more crap done.
Amen to that.
All right, that's good. Yes.
Bobby Logano wore a Braves hat yesterday. Is that right? Did he have it on again?
I can't keep up with what kind of hats Logano's got on.
We had it on. Bobby Logano had the I can do some reporting. Yeah. Bobby says the Braves hat had nothing to do with the victory at all, so and it's only an Atlanta thing, and he's back to the Yankees hat at the next race. That's what Bobby Logano says.
Series, different local team hats at every event?
He was paying tribute to the Atlanta Braves' new stadium.
I think that Bob is like the biggest kid you've ever met. Yeah. So they went to the ballpark. They went to the game. He bought a hat, and he's going to wear it for the weekend, and then it's back to normal like with the Yankees hat. I mean, he doesn't wear a Torrance Racing or Capco hat. He wears a Yankees hat. That's just when Bob falls out, we're going to bury him with that hat on.
Yeah. And it was in commemoration to the 1996 and 1998 Yankee victories over the Braves. He said that. Very Steve, cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Congrats,
thank
man.
You, guys.